Entwistle, and you have tuned in to Radiance by Design. Radiance by Design is a radio show about you. My intention as an intuitive and energy person is to share with you so we're interactive, so we can be a part of the great shift. What we're doing here on Radiance by Design is learning to release past reactions, old ways of being, old attitudes, and do it by myself, but also collectively. So if people call in with a question and we do some energy clearing, or they do the energy clearing or whatever, what happens is those other people who are related to that question also get a clearing. So if we're talking about the release of the parent or the release of an attitude to authority or whatever. The other thing I wanted to talk about today is, what does it take to get ready for 2012? And I want to talk about back to clearings, back to releasing past reactions. I want to talk about how you can read. Just a sec, I have to take I have a problem with my headset. Yeah. Sorry, everybody. I'm just going to have to do a little bit of clearing here because it's going off and on in my head, and that's making me a little bit weird. Aha! All right. Sorry about that. All right. This is a little bit of a technical glitch going on today. All right, so here's the deal. I wanted to talk about 2012 for a number of reasons. One is that it's getting closer. Two, we also just did the gateway opening for 2008, which is one of the gateways going to lead us to downloads of universal energy to transform things for us before 2012. What's the goal for 2012? Well, some people think it's the end of everything as we know it. But my personal understanding is that it's a lot to do with we all have old reactions, and a lot of those reactions are in the collective. And as we become more and more authentic, we separate from the drives on the subconscious level, from the drives that keep us acting out certain patterns, some of which come from the collective. And as we break apart from the collective, as we come out of the, the soup from which our thoughts and feelings often come, as we change and we become more and more aware of ourselves, who we really are, what our soul journey is about, and how to really love. Love is more about loving and not so much about attachment and identity. And forgiveness is a big deal. And the true self is really what we honor. If we have our true selves flying our own personal flags in our lives, our true selves carrying forth our own gifts and talents, then we don't really have any competition, because you and I, we're the only ones in the universe like ourselves. It's really amazing when I think about that, because I've always waited for someone to pop out of the woodwork and tell me how to be myself. But know what? That's not going to happen, because nobody else has ever had this role. So when we hastily pick on each other and we call each other names or whatever we do, ooh, my guys are reminding me, ooh, we say, so-and-so is a victim. And I'm not, of course, because that's kind of the metaphysical hierarchy that's going on these days. I'm past this and so-and-so isn't, or she's acting like a wounded one and I'm not, and all of that childish stuff. We're supposed to be moving into a time where when we claim the truth and the gold of self, that kind of reality will not work any longer. It's going to change. And what's going to change is that we're going to be able to create the reality that we desire, that is not a competitive reality, but is working for the greater good. Now, I've been doing some interviews with people, as you well know, on Paradigm Shifters, and I talked quite a while ago to Barbara Han Clow and to C.J. Kalaman and others, and today's Paradigm Shifter is with Mark Borax, who's an astrologer, who's written a book on 2012 as the, 2012, Crossing the Bridge to the Future. So we're going to talk more about how the frequencies are on the rise, and as the frequencies are on the rise, we can fight it, or we can catch the wave. And when we catch the wave, our own evolution will help us turn from a fairly defensive, self-protective somebody who's wanting to be in the consensus into one who's expanding, growing, loving, releasing, forgiving, and stepping out of the consensus so that our whole pool of humanity, at least a great percentage of it, has the opportunity to be living in a win-win comprehension, a win-win consciousness. Do you think it's possible? Sometimes I question whether it's possible, but guess what? It is, and we're a part of it. It's just as important that you become really who you are as anyone in the world. Now, we could have some questions about that. We could say it's more important that President Bush finally become who he really is. But, you know, that's part of the old paradigm. We have to get out of that and move back into who we really are. My guides and angels are absolutely loving and adorable and extremely practical. They love you like mad. And what they like us to do is start with the structures. The structures are, as we move out of the soup, the collective soup, the structures are vibrational, self-designed, vibrational place that you can create around yourself, which is like creating a portable workspace, research lab, healing space, and also a space in which you can be safe from the collective. You can keep yourself away from the waves and the rolling consciousness waves from everyone else, from all of humanity. So we're going to start with the structures in which our meditation is going to include, let's today go into our structures as a meditation. And instead of it just being a manifestation meditation, let's go in there and actually do some big belief clearing while we're in there. So we're using our structure today as a healing room. You want to do that? And after we do the structures, I'm going to get you to call in with some of your own questions. Last week, we did a really good job. The callers were tremendous. And we did a great job going in and discovering, or actually reading the printout of our beliefs as it shows up in our lives, looking around in our lives, saying, gee, what do I believe? What kind of hidden beliefs are maybe running my world? I know we have a caller. I'd prefer it if you could wait. But, well, anyway, tell me what your call is about. Hello?
Yeah, hi, Veronica. It's Kim from Louisiana.
Hi, Kim.
Hey, I've been listening since the beginning, and I just wanted to weigh in a couple things, and then I want to ask you a question, but I can hold on that. There are 7 billion people on the planet.
That's a lot.
But there's really only one of us here. So, right?
Right.
So James Twyman's right. So James Twyman's Moses Code is really kind of onto something. I am that.
Mm-hmm.
I am that. I am that. And so we're all one, right?
Right.
Exactly. I just reread Helen's Wambach's Life Before Life. Someone gave it to me at my dad's funeral. And she says, it was written in 79, and I'd read it in 79, and she says that basically it's all about unconditional love and, you know, forgiveness and, you know, not being too demanding or too possessive, but then she says at the very end, it's about recognizing that we're all one. And so even though she has a real trouble with that in 1979, and she goes on and on about it, it's really, we're finally trying to get past all of our dramas and recognizing that, you know, why call somebody else names? Because they're just throwing the mirror back at you. You know, Greg Braden's Divine Matrix Mirror from
mm-hmm.
the Gnostic Gospels. And, right? And so, you spot it, you got it. Right? That's what he says. You spot it, you got it.
Oh, I love that. That's great, actually. So
then,
by the same token, here we go. We're working on some belief structures, which I believe that we really would do well to do. And I don't suppose we really need to do all of this, because what was I reading? And it said, of course, same thing we always say, we can do it in an instant. But most of us have to go through the kind of cascading vibrational realities of past beliefs and so on. So if I clear a really deep victim belief, it really clears you too, doesn't it?
Yep, it really, I mean, it does. And Greg Braden also says, from the book, The Divine Matrix, not the newest one, but the one before this, is what we resist persists.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly. What we resist persists.
Well, we're going to do some surgery today. We're going to do some self-surgery on the energy of belief. So I thank you for your call, and we will now know of course, that we are one, and it's really, really important to be true to yourself because it's making us true to everyone.
Can I call back in a few minutes and get a mini reading or not?
Sure, you can actually hang on if you want to, but I just want to do the structure first.
Okay, that's fine. Yeah.
All right, honey. Thank you.
Yeah. Thanks.
All right, so here we're going to clear a belief. So I want you to take a look at your life and say to yourself, I wonder what belief I want to work on today. And you can see what your beliefs are by the way your world sets itself up. How are your beliefs about money? What is your belief about deserving? What is your belief about love? What is your belief about friendship? What is your belief about universal flow? What is your belief about resources? Take a look around and pick something. That's it. Take a good look. Yeah. And now I'd like you to create the structure, which is presenting for yourself a golden ball above your head, perhaps 2 miles, and one below your spine, around 40 feet below your spine. And then around your waist, say 8 feet in radius, all around your waist, a circle of these brilliant golden balls. Now remember, gold is a really wonderful high frequency. They say it runs through the earth with just enough veins to keep the earth presenting itself with a higher and higher frequency. It does a big service, as everything on the planet or off the planet does. So let's just see these golden balls around us, around our waist. And from the upper golden ball to the circle of golden balls, drop a myriad of pink, radiant filaments of little lights. And from the circle of golden balls to the lower golden ball, many, many, many filaments of light. So you have a canopy pointing up and a canopy pointing down. And now from way out there in the galaxy, the center of your universe, drop a nice, shiny, shiny, white tube of energy, something that conducts energy, and have it run right down through the golden ball, through your head, through your spine, into the lower golden ball, and have it run right into the core of the earth. And now from the upper golden ball, drop a filament of light through this very brilliant tube, which runs all the way through your spine, all the way through the golden ball below. There you have it. And now inside of your structure, because remember you have this pink radiant canopy pointing up and a pink radiant canopy pointing down. And inside of that, draw your crystal ball. And the outside edges of your crystal ball nudge the inside edges of your canopy structure. Excellent. And inside of that, you're in a three-dimensional star tetrahedron. You know, I can feel it like mad. As we do this, my body starts to vibrate and resonate with these shifting shapes and frequencies, which design energy flows. And who designed it? You did. I did. You were powerful. So let's spin in our star tetrahedron, which is like the Star of David, three-dimensional, and you spin and spin and spin. And feel your energies moving up and spinning and spinning and spinning and spinning. Good job. Keep spinning now in front of you on a beautiful screen. I want you to bring one of your beliefs in. Maybe it's the one about money. Maybe it's the one about authority. I think I'll use authority because I tend to be, even though I'm as old as I am, or shall I say as wise as I am, I still tend to kind of react to authority. Can you believe it? A little bit of rebellion. All right, so I'm going to go in there and bring up my feelings about authority, or sometimes what presents are various people who are representing authority. Yeah, excellent. So now you bring up, you don't have to do authority, you can do whatever you want, but that's what I'm doing. So I bring up this understanding of authority. And I keep spinning in my star tetrahedron. Good. Now bring up authority. Yeah. And you know what else I'm going to do is I'm going to see myself appearing and reacting to authority. And I'm going to back up and say, where did I begin to take on that belief? And I see myself stepping way out of this life. And there's kind of an attachment. I can't do it in a linear fashion. This can be done instantaneously. And I see an attachment for this style of authority. And I just blur it as if I'm erasing it, blessing it, rubbing it out, and feel myself somewhat released as I come back into my screen. And I see myself, oh, I don't know, I'm being funny here. So I shake hands with authority. And I spin a little bit more in my tetrahedron, my star tetrahedron. Excellent. Now, what did you do? We're going to talk about more and more of your belief structures. And I know Kim's already on the line, but I'm looking forward to your calls today to work on beliefs, to move these beliefs, because it's really important for us to get hold of. A lot of times we don't know what's going on in the subconscious. I'll be with you in just a moment. We don't know what's going on in our subconscious except that it plays out in front of us. And like Kim just said, you know, if you can see it, it's yours. If you can spot it, it's yours. All these wonderful lines, well, that's it. We're working with our beliefs and we're shifting them. So when 2012, and it's not going to happen in an instant from my understanding, but when we move through that channel that goes from this paradigm, this way of being in the world, into one that's more gracious, but also in which we're all consciously styling our own reality, we want to have released so much of our subconscious and even ancient lineage stuff that we can actually be free to create the reality we want and love each other while we're at it. Isn't that exciting? Hi, you're on the air.
Yeah, hi, Veronica. I think Don or Wynn kept buzzing me in, but I was just patiently waiting here.
Oh, well, you did a good job.
Oh, thanks. Okay, so I worked on friendship, which is actually part of my question. You did a beautiful reading for me the first week of December.
Okay.
And, yeah, it was really beautiful. It was about waiting for this man that I'm still waiting for, that he's this noble, gentle, quiet, kind soul. And then I had called, I don't know when, sometime between then and now, but I got cut off. Like people ran into the house and I had to hang up, and so it was right in the middle of the call. But and so I didn't write down anything. I don't remember really anything of what you said. But
I thought I was always memorable.
I'm sorry.
Oh, now at least I've got some of my ego out here so I can work on it. Right?
I'm so sorry. So the whole thing, see, I know I'm waiting for my very best friend. You know, I do know that. But I'm just wondering if you're getting anything about timing or who he might be or...
Well, I'm really glad you asked this question because I immediately saw in your body mind, in your... You know how our bodies hold, file all our beliefs and so on?
Yeah.
And in between your solar plexus and your belly area, second chakra, you have some huge reformatting going on. Do you realize that? You're changing so much.
I suspect it.
Yeah, and there's an unfoldment going on where you have... I talked briefly about how love sometimes, or maybe this was before the radio show today, but how love is a very expansive quality, but so many of us have it tied in with our either security, our possessions, our, you know, it's got a lot of bullets in it, doesn't it? And there's something in your belly area which is moving out of a way of holding onto friendship. There's something about joy, but there's friendship and love, and all of this is changing. You're reformatting what you're willing to be and accept at this time. And you don't want to have your mate come in until you're done with that.
Well, I guess maybe that's true. That's really beautiful because you're right on. I had this person I was hoping to hook up with physically and this month, and he just kind of emailed me last night. And I had two visions before this week about dog medicine. And I was like, okay, well, what's the deal with the dogs, right? So I look it up on the internet, animal totems, found it. Okay, so it's unconditional love and total forgiveness. That's the main points of dog medicine. I'm like, because I love this man. He's an old dear friend. We worked side by side for 6 years, you know, and now he's going through a bad divorce. He's got a rebound girl, and, you know, and I'm trying to hook up with him because I think he could be the one. But, you know, he strung me along, and then finally he said, well, no, I really thought I could, but now I can't.
Okay.
So, yeah, so I just heard from him last night on an email.
So that hurts a lot, except, honey, you know what? You really, if I look at your soul journey, right, and we talk about, for example, 2012, you're here for the shift.
Right.
You're not here to get the gold watch in the old paradigm.
Right.
So one of your dreams here is still attached to the old paradigm. You know, you're not going to be alone long. And if we could learn how to really treasure that alone space a little more, it just wouldn't work right now. You're going to be a very different girl when all of a sudden your Prince Charming is there.
Yeah.
And you don't want the old Prince Charming. What you want, let me tell you what you want, girl. But you want someone who can flow through the shift as well. Someone who can really open to understand. He has to be all about himself in a way, you know what I mean?
And that's really beautiful, Veronica, because that's really true, because this old friend of mine, it just so happens, okay, and I, you know, I'm 47, he's 60, and he keeps coming to me in visions and dreams and saying, I'm too old for you, and he keeps trying to introduce me to someone else, and I'm resistant, and I do think that there's like an element of that too, you know, in what you said. But I kind of feel like, well, then I always tend to overcompensate, so I kind of feel like, well, that's ageist. You know what I mean? Like, just to say, although he's been through a lot, and, you know, I mean, he's had a rough life emotionally, and he's still trying to recover from it.
But I'll tell you something, Kim, and I'm not really for sure saying it's him. In fact, I'm questioning whether it would be at all. However, he and you are working your way through a whole bunch of old hidden things. Remember we talked about the subconscious and how it literally runs our repatterning. A lot of us run into the same kind of lover or mate relationship as we had before.
Right.
And you don't want to do that. And
no.
He doesn't, what is the word? He's afraid right now. He's not embracing a transformation in the way you are.
Oh, I know that. Yeah.
And the thing is, if he decides to, he may just show up and it'll all be a whole different story. Right now, there are too many membranes around the parts of the chakras that want to interact, if that makes sense metaphorically.
Yeah. Actually, totally makes sense. It
and
totally
I like him. He's adorable, but he...
Isn't he wonderful? He's such a beautiful... In fact, when I first met him 12 years ago, he was such a powerful light being in my dreams. He was much healthier then. That I actually thought he was an angel, not a person. And then it took several dreams of the same things. Like, oh, this is Don, you know, this is him. I thought it was just one of my guardian angels. But
well, maybe he is an angel because they seem to go through a lot as well, don't they?
Yeah, sometimes.
Especially the ones that have to dance with a human doodah.
Yep.
But I like him. But I'll tell you what, Kim, give yourself just a bit longer. And also sometimes these beings that keep showing up to give us, I think, hope or the light at the end of the tunnel or a feeling of intimacy.
Yeah.
Are there for that. They're not there for the long haul.
Right.
And I really like him for you right now. He's the one. However, that may not be in the flesh.
Yeah.
That makes sense?
Exactly. I totally get that. And I've actually had a couple other readers say, yeah, he might be ready in about a year and a half. I'm like, yeah, can I wait that long?
Well, you're not waiting
for
you. You're growing, and he's growing.
That's right. You're right.
Yeah. So, but you're just not smack to, you know, you're not nose to nose in the shift yet.
Right.
So keep shifting.
Veronica, thank you so much. Have a blessed evening.
And you
I'm
too.
I'm going to continue to listen. Go in the other room.
Great. Well, many blessings. All right.
Thanks.
Now, that's actually an interesting story. Bye-bye, sweetie. That's an interesting story because as we go through this period of time, it really is important to see in our lives, I didn't say this to Kim, but in many cases, the rejection has a similar flavor to what it has before. Have you ever heard people say, I was reading Mark Borax's book talking about 2012 and the bridge to the future. And he was saying about how his great teacher said to him, no wonder, you know, something about it, he was looking at his chart and said, well, yeah, if you're having a whole bunch of difficult issues around love, then you probably are here to master love, you know. we have these issues to master our true selves and not just slip into those patterns that have been really established deep down inside of ourselves. And so we read out the patterns of our life and go, okay, here's a pattern. Now then we go inside and we find out what the belief is underneath it. And one of the beliefs that I could see in Kim, I'm talking about you behind your back, darling. But one of the beliefs I could see is that if I do, and you already said it, I overcompensate. If I do enough, it'll work out. And there's a real tension around her face around that. How many of you have that? If I do enough, I can make it work. I'll tell you something. I've taken on some incredible challenges that way in my life. And they didn't work out, in quotes, the way my fantasy world had it. My fantasy world was that if you do enough, it'll really just be bliss for both of you. Well, you know, I wasn't in a state of bliss, so guess what? It wasn't going to work that way, and you can't really bend, or you can't turn iron into gold. I mean, at least I can't. Maybe Rumpelstiltskin could, you know. Wasn't he spinning straw into gold? That's right. So let's take a look at another belief, and we'll see if we can do a common belief shift, or let's each of us pick a belief, take a look at your world around you, and pull in a belief that you might not be conscious of, but you see it, how it's reflected in your world. Maybe it's something as simple as the kind of furniture you have or the kind of job you have. The belief is I have to work hard and I have to struggle, and the belief is I can't, I don't know how to decorate my home. The belief is I can't really have nice things and be spiritual. The belief is, pick another one. Nobody treats me well unless I'm doing more than my share. Anyways, it gets quite funny, doesn't it? And all authority doesn't see me. People don't see me. I can't belong. There's some really interesting stuff like that. And I know that many of you have that because I see it in my readings fairly regularly. I just don't belong anywhere. No, I'm different. I was born from another galactic center, and it's all a big mistake being here because I can't belong. That's a belief, so we got to bring that up. Okay, so let's take a minute and grab your cherished belief and bless its little heart for showing up, because these are the things that drive away that which would make you at peace and at home and loving with yourself. So let's call up that, let's call in our guides and angels. Always, always ask for help from the Christing, from all, whoever you believe in. Throw in a holy name to raise the fields and frequencies and to put our consciousness right on the line here. And ask to experience some way of knowing this belief. And where is it in my body? Oops, wrap yourselves in light too so we don't take each other's on and create another swill in the human collective. All right, so call it up. And where is it in your body? Mm-hmm. I picked don't belong because it's so common among people, and I have it to a degree, too. Most of us healers do, don't we? Anyway, so I want you to tell me where yours is, and mine goes right up my left hip and right into my, my pancreas, which is interesting, and my gallbladder and my left lung and right up into my heart. Wow, that's a pretty big place. So where's yours? Is anybody going to call in? Come on, you guys. I want to hear all about where your beliefs are structured. Let's exaggerate that. Let's exaggerate where it is in your body. Really feel it. Now it's even pulling on my neck. This one seems to want to exaggerate itself, I guess, because it knows it's on the air and it wants a little bit of belongingness, a little bit of recognition. And let's exaggerate it and make it bigger and exaggerate it. Good. And a little bit more. And let's ask for help from our guides and angels. Yeah, let's ask for help. And have it be pulled out. That's it. Have it be pulled out. And now let's swish ourselves out with the gold light. It can be a spiraling golden light or it can be a spiraling platinum light, but have it go whoosh, 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 like your light gargle running throughout your entire body. Mm-hmm. And making sure that that's gone. And now as we do it, and the guides had said this earlier today, and I forgot this part, but they say that as you do this clearing, you want to throw in your intention really fast. And my intention is that, just that I belong, just fine, I'm having a great time, belonging is perfect for me. I belong here, I'm here for the shift, I'm here for love, I'm here for the beings that I'm with. I belong, belong, belong. So as you shift, they say that the frequencies are moving very, very fast right now so that you can pull out a belief and you can transform how your energy fields have held themselves in your body. You can swish it out and you can replace it way faster than ever before. Remember, energy is in a constant state of motion. So as I throw in that I belong, as I'm swishing myself out with light, that fills with a sense of belonging. So once you call in and let me know about yourself and your belief. And the next thing I'd like to do is take on, oh, goody, who are you? You're on the air with me. Hello? Hello? Hello?
Yikes.
I don't know whether this is a chorus or whether we're just... Is that Juniper?
Yeah.
Hi, honey. How you doing?
Good one. You just hit on some great beliefs that I'm struggling with right now today.
Aha. So what happened? Did you get anywhere?
Yeah. I mean, that always helps to run it in and then replace it, to do the gargle and replace it.
It goes very fast these days, doesn't it?
It can.
So tell me what's going on. Do you have a question?
Well, just that one about, oh, you're just a big dreamer and get real and da-da-da. You know, that's my kind of fear thingy when I want to do this spiritual path and believe in manifestation and everything. I just get, oh, grow up and get real, and that's my voice.
Well, don't you think that what Lazarus talks about, the negative ego, that we're born with what's called a negative ego. Mm-hmm. Do you know about that?
Mm-hmm.
And we apparently still have it when we die. So I just want to say, yeah, there's always a part of our nature that's going to chide us for all of our optimistic change, isn't there?
And you just replace it, replace it, replace it.
Yeah, and say, okay, all right, there you are. I can hear you. I know that you're very busy here. I'm going to give you a job a little later. So you stuff over
there.
Yeah,
I do. I give it jobs.
Does it clean your house for you?
No, it helps me with my little business I'm trying to start. Like, okay, you know, find new venues or this. So then the question would be, what else can I do to forward myself in my new business?
Well, you have a really deep kind of self-doubt going on. Do you know that?
Well, that's what I just said.
Well,
that's the voice.
I think it's different than the voice. I'll tell you why.
It appears
that in, and if you put your hand on your belly, and anybody else at home, everybody call up self-doubt because we all have some of it. But right now, in this process of creating a new business, yours is sitting there and looks to me like a little pudding, and it's just below your solar plexus. Okay? And I want you to feel self-doubt, self-doubt, self-doubt. And what it is, it's been placed in there by some patterns from your past, where you just stuffed a whole bunch of stuff in there without even thinking it through.
Mm-hmm.
And we could say everybody's got that, but you know, this one is really sort of thick and full, and I'm going, okay, it's time for you to really work on that self-doubt part. And that, why wouldn't you? I mean, there's a bunch of, I often say this, a bunch of jerks out there that have great relationships and lots of money. You ever notice that? And they don't care a toodly-doo about consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
But they just don't doubt that part of themselves, I think. Okay? They just create it. And so I look at this self-doubt part, and it seems to be something that you're tripping over. Are you really lonely at times, darling?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. It seems like when you're... Okay. We're going to do two things at once, which is good because I'm a Gemini. So... We're calling up the self-doubt, and I'm asking your body. I say it comes from your past, doesn't it? Yeah. And I want to say this, that there's something about your self-doubt that comes from the fact that nobody ever could look after you or save you. so that there's a space around you that says, no one ever really looks after me, so I don't...
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So you could say that you apply that particular belief, which wraps itself around your self-doubt, to the universe as well.
Mm.
And I want to say to you, listen to your call-up. Now, for everybody at home, you can say, well, how are we supposed to know about those layers? And I'm saying, well, if you're calling up self-doubt, you're going to get a hand-on-the-hip kind of negative ego saying, yeah, well, nobody else was there for you before. And I'm going, bingo, that's where the bigger belief is. Nobody's ever been there for me. When you had your deepest trials as a child, there was no one there to help you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I'm saying to you, why don't you put your hand on your hip, too, and call it up and go, okay, nobody was there for me. Nobody has ever been there for me. Bring it up. And you'll notice that you almost feel something weird in your nostrils and something in your... There's some bubbling going on in your body. Can you feel that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I want you to call that up. Call it up. Remember, we're getting our angels to help us here. And it seems to have a huge impact on your left ovary area as well. Can you feel that?
I felt my left shoulder, yeah.
Okay. So let's cause here. C4-5, isn't that the nerve that runs all the way up from the ovaries? But anyway, I won't try to do anatomy right now. I haven't got a book to refer to. So let's call it up and feel it and exaggerate that. Nobody was ever there before, so nobody's going to come now. That's a belief, and it's a sad belief, you know?
Okay.
It's a lonely belief, right? And one of the things that happens with that particular belief is that the radiance that you want to put in the world to attract people to you is kind of dumbed or dulled,
mm-hmm.
see, behind it. So I'm smiling and going, oh, Juniper, we know you're a great person and you've been through enough transformation and enough life experience to become a very wise teacher of many people. So we're going to call up in your body... Oh, it's getting softer already. All that feeling that there's nobody out there to help you or no one out to pay attention to your needs, and it seems to be dissipating while I talk. I can't find it as much. Can you find it?
I'm asking, I got busy angels.
Yeah, I'm asking the angels to continue pulling it, please. Please pull it away, and immediately, well, we know we can already feel it. Well, there's the angels for starters. And the universe is right in there. They're right in our universe, aren't they?
Mm-hmm.
And you have this wonderful, wonderful vibrance at a very deep level, which is just beginning to wake up and share.
Mm-hmm.
So that in itself is going to be your inspirational authority, and also you've got strong guidance, and you will be helped a great deal. Oh, something has just melted in your... I don't know if you can feel it, but I can sure see it. Woof!
Yay!
And so you know. Repeat after me, Annie. I know that it's there to help me. I know they're there to help me.
I know. The universe loves me and supports me. It always has. It always will.
Exactly. And the feelings that you've had, we just hand them over. Just hand them over. And keep. I would keep pulling on that one over the next little while, just in case.
I will.
Because remember, energy, and I always remind people, energy doesn't want to die just like people. So it likes to run back into place. Sometimes these days things are moving so fast, it doesn't actually go back into place. But if it does, don't be upset. Just keep doing it. Hello?
Yeah. I'm doing it.
All right. For any of the people that are down in the Santa Cruz area, do you want to tell them what's going on that you would like to have them sign up
for? Well, just the website, silkvisions.com for... Feng Shui, moving energy, banners, flags, intention flags,
silkvisions.com.
Silkvisions.com.
Excellent.
Thank you, honey.
All right, many blessings to you, and just keep growing. The universe is with you.
Yes, the universe is. Thank you. Blessings to you.
And may the force be with you. All right, well, that was fun because she moved it very, very fast. And I say she because it was in the grips of her subconscious, but it started to release almost as fast as we talked about it. Now, that's what often happens with people. So I want to see someone else's beliefs. Let's see who else. Do you want to do one, Bob? No, he says. Okay, so let's do a generic one that the world, one of these old ones, there's some old lines like history always repeats itself, or 'twas ever thus, or people, them that has gets. How about that one? That's a good one. You're talking about resources, people that have get, and people that don't have just keep not getting. Now, we could say that is true, because if we're expecting it to be true, it will be. So I want us to go in and feel if we have that kind of an expectation deep within. So take a minute, wrap yourself in light, let's call in the guides and angels. And let's ask to feel if in your body somewhere you have a belief that says the people that have keep getting and the people that don't have keep losing. I want you to ask yourself if you believe that, if you have that belief. If not, you can do another one. And I want you to exaggerate that. And exaggerate it. Where is it in your life? Where is it in your body? Wow. A lot of people must have this because my body's going, wah. That's that kind of relentless pursuit of the old paradigm that's gone on and on. Exaggerate it. And you know the energies are moving very fast, so have those energies move right through your body as your angels lift that feeling, that old belief, out of your body. Excellent. And swish yourself out with light. And know full well that you can create. Each of us is in our authenticity. We can create the reality that we want. And so often it's the subconscious that slows down that out-picturing, isn't it? And you don't want to do that anymore. So we're pulling this out of the subconscious, filling it with light, the light gargle, and then remembering that we can have and do and create the world that we want. What is your world like that you want to create? Now let's see, as we're moving to 2012, well, 2008 is an election year. I bet you didn't notice that. So let's do some kind of belief structure on the election. What do you think of our political situation right now? Let's look for some beliefs. Have you got any beliefs on that? Any prejudices? Any optimism? What have you got going on in the political structure right now? Got a big election coming up. Mm-hmm. All right, so some of you get really cynical. I can see people going, ah. And you know, there's that fear that if we go around just blindly going, okay, well, I know I can create my reality. Everything's going to be fine. Well, it didn't work that way over the last two elections quite for at least some of the people I know. So there has to be kind of a collective thing here, doesn't there? So let's go in there and pull up your belief about this election. You don't even have to admit it. I'm not even asking you to fess up to what you believe, but let's just see. Are you optimistic? Are you pessimistic? I want you to exaggerate it and bring it forward. Now remember, these beliefs get in the way of your ability to create your reality, right? Because they come running out of the subconscious and you're programmed by them. So don't worry about it, just bring it up and feel it. And let's bring it up and feel it and wrap ourselves in light. That's it. And let's call in our guides and angels and all those beings who lift us and help us transform on this path of consciousness, truth, light, win-win for everyone, paradigm shift. Okay. And ask them to just exaggerate your beliefs about the election. Wow, my whole body just feels like it's got about 15 different beliefs or all these different little compartments that are dancing around together, making me probably rather, what would we say, ineffective in going forward because I'm going in 22 different directions around this. What's going on with you? I hope you'll call in. Now exaggerate your beliefs. Notice where they are in your body. Yeah, notice where it is in your body and ask for help as we command total release of these beliefs now. Total release of these beliefs now. And just take a second and whoosh, send out a picture of what it is you like. Mm-hmm. I'd like it to have high integrity, a concern for the world, a love of values, I keep thinking about having Ayman Sawaf on talking about the sacred commerce and the merchant priesthood and how those priests were trained for generations to hold high-frequency energy. And when they were in various stationed in various marketplaces and no one knew who they were able to hold a really high level of energy to dispel greed, jealousy, competition, and so on. So everybody got resources. So everybody got the stuff, you know? I just really think we need this, Ayman, where are you? Can we get this priesthood going again? We should look at his website, sacredcommerce.com, because I think he's got all kinds of people writing in with ideas to add to his book about this particular subject. In any case, so what have you decided about the election? And remember, the idea of 2012 is, first of all, I don't know if we're going to find it's like really a startling night and day kind of thing. I think we're building up to these changes. And I remember hearing what used to take about a million years now takes about 300 days. But between the time I spoke to, I guess it was C.J. Kalaman, and that was last October, between then and now, everything has sped up because what he said or Barbara Han Clow said or others, that it's going to speed up till the vibrations are going to start moving faster and faster, like 20 times as fast as what they had been doing. And already the change was from what took a million years, took 300 days. So it just reminds me that it's like we're going through this, that we're a species of vibrational. We're vibrational vehicles of light. So we're vibrational first and physical second or third or fourth. And then what we're doing is shifting our frequency to such a point that we can hold a much higher frequency and we can consciously create our reality collectively like we never have before. And as we know, the planet is changing, the earth changes are happening, there's all kinds of strange storms coming up. And it's hot in places where it was cool, and there's meltings and so on. And there's a lot of debate about whether that's not just a natural flow of Mother Earth every so many millions of years or whatever, and whether it's a consequence of so many CO2 emissions or whether we've just created all the problem ourselves. It almost doesn't matter. It's what we're learning from it all is to be more and more in harmony with the Earth, to be more what we've lost. And in technology, we've lost a lot of it as well. To be able to be with the seasons, with the productions of the Earth herself, with the consciousness of reusing things so that Mother Earth gets retuned. All of this kind of stuff, we're waking up to that. We're waking up to one another's needs. We're waking up to our own authenticity. We're waking up to huge changes. For example, free energy or zero-point energy. Free energy systems so that we can empower what we want without having huge toxic chemicals and without having great wars fought so that we can light our houses. We're developing amazingly fast. We've got indigo children and crystal children, these children coming in. My grandson, when I first saw him in the hospital, he was just a few hours old, he was watching us. His eyes were bright and wide, and as I walked around his bassinet, he followed me. I tested it over and over. He followed. He walked back, and his eyes followed me as I walked back and forth. And these kids are being born with a real different perspective. They're kind of wide awake. They have very, very fast brains. It's kind of hard to keep up with them. But they just know things. How do they know things? Because they're born more awake than what we were. And there's a flood of them all over the planet. Some of them are amazing psychics at 2, 3, 4, 5 years old. And they're out in Siberia and Africa and who knows where. there's a lot of research being done on them, but these waves of huge change on the planet all amount to the same thing, which is that consciousness is rising and expressing itself in a very, very magical way now. And what we have to do to be in the flow of that is clear the kinds of things that we're tenaciously holding on to. So let's do one more exercise. And the reason for that is because what we're tenaciously holding on to is very often a subconscious program that came from a reaction to your own history as opposed to being present and accounted for in order to create and design the world that you want to live in. I think it was Barbara Hand Clow was talking about waves of trauma that hit our species maybe 50,000 years ago or 500,000 years ago, I don't remember the numbers, and we still have reactions from those going through our cellular structure and our DNA as well. So this is the time on our planet where we're actually able to move out of that kind of programming if we've been very programmed. There's a lot more to talk about programmed, and I'm going to try and get a guest on to talk about that with us, that there are those beings who talk about how we've been programmed by the Pleiadians, and a lot of that programming is being released because we're finally learning to self-create, which again leads to the same thing with a slightly different set of parameters. So we have just one more minute or two more minutes to do another process. So I want you to go inside and ask to feel, I want you to feel resistance. Where do you hold resistance? Ask your body, wrap yourself in light now, and let's call up in your body. You know, somebody says, come on, let's go here, and you resist, okay? Or somebody says, I think we should do it this way, you resist. It's a natural thing. We all have some version of it. But where do you hold it in your body? I'm not saying to dump all of your boundaries or all of your resistances. Just know them. So let's wrap ourselves in light and ask to feel where on earth in your body do you hold resistances? Boy, oh boy, do I have them in my arms and my heart. That's a bit scary, isn't it? Where do you have them? So let's call in our guides and angels and beings of light and consciousness that are working with us to help us through this incredibly changeable time as we command total release of these resistances now. Because we want to go with a new kind of flow designed by our intentions and the fact that the energies are shifting, changing, and moving, flowing through us much faster. So as a vibrational vehicle of light, you can steer your ship through very, very light-filled seas, can't you? So let's command total release one more time of those resistances, and then our intention is that we choose, happily, we choose the reality that we want to create for ourselves. Probably choosing it just for ourselves would work. Right? To choose it for others and step out of yourself is going back into a self-denial. This is Veronica Entwistle, and that's the end of Radiance by Design for this week. I've sure enjoyed talking to you. I thank you for your calls. I'd love it if you emailed me, Veronica@VeronicaEntwistle. Tell me what you would like to work on during Radiance by Design. What do you think about 2012, if you've got time? Stay tuned at the top of the hour to Mark Borax, who's just written 2012, Our Crossing the Bridge to Our Future, and he's an astrologer. He's not only an astrologer, he's like many of us, he's a very deep seeker, seeking the authenticity of self. And he's had some great teachers along the way. He's got lots to say about using astrology to find your authenticity, but actually the value of finding your authenticity and how he perceives that 2012 is going to impact us. I imagine he'll use some astrological data for that, and I don't know, because he's an intuitive, and his book is really, really delightful and has taken me into my own authentic search as I read. So I think that's a great book, any book that can wake us up to who we really are and what our games are with ourselves so we can be ready for the big shift. And I'm looking forward to talking to you on Thursday night at 8 o'clock when I'll be on with Jackie Solvitti on ET Healing and Explorations in Consciousness. Oh, and next week, my paradigm shifter is very exciting. It's Valerie Hunt, Dr. Valerie Hunt. We had her on a few months ago. Dr. Hunt is in her 90s doing original research and is presenting a brand new book, Uncorking Your Consciousness. And I'm so looking forward to, when she was on before, she was having a delay with her book publication. But it's out now, and she's very eager to come back and talk to you all about her book. But it's very inspiring to talk to someone who's in her 90s and is still doing original research and making a difference as a paradigm shifter. Much love to you. Many, many blessings. Email me, and I'll talk to those of you who've still got time at 5 o'clock.